Okay, Parshas Bolok, saying from all the various different interesting characters we meet, learning Chumash, certainly one of the most colourful in his past and his present in this week's Parsha is certainly our dear friend Bilam. According to the Medrash, we find that Bolok actually was either the Neshama of Lavan or he was Lavan, but it was one and the same. And the Chazal say that Moshe Rabbeinu received levels of Ruah, levels of Kedusha, levels of his Stabkus to Rabbeinu Shleilam that no other man has ever had. Leikom K'novi Oid K'moshe. And now the Chazal say, K'novi Leikom, Umos Oilam Leikom, B'Yisrael Leikom, Abu Umos Oilam Kom. That in Klal Yisrael they never had a Novi like Moshe Rabbeinu. Not Avram, not Yitzchok, not Yaakov, not Yeshua, not David HaMelech, not Shem Melech, but the Umay Se'olam, amongst the Goyim, there was a Navi in the same level as Moshe Rabbeinu, and who was that? That was Bilam. So we have here a very colourful character, so much so that the Mishnah spends, it's a passing siddur, please, no, the Mishnah, yeah, the Mishnah spends a whole Mishnah trying to identify the differences between the Talmidim of Bilam and the Talmidim of Avram Avinu, which means that, you know, it's basically saying, Rabbi Yisrael, what's the difference between, you know, Cambridge University and Mir Yeshiva? What's the difference between the two? I mean, there's big, major differences. Why are we even comparing them? And then the Mishnah talks about exactly what the differences are, and then it brings the chilukim, what the mice is going to happen, which means it's obviously not that apparent, the differences, and therefore that's why the Mishnah's got to spell them out. The Mishnah says in Perik Hei Mishnah Chof Gimel Kun Samishnayas. Komi Shiyesh Boy Shleisha Tavarim Halalu. Anyone who has the three things. Most unfortunately, say these three things, and you don't need anything else. Okay, these three things, that's it. Who mitamidav shel Avram Avinu? He is a talmid of Avram Avinu. Bishloisha dvorim acherim, who have three other things. Who mitamidav shel Bilam Arasha, talmid of Bilam Arasha? What are they? Ein toivo, a good eye, ruach nemucha, v'nefesh shfala. Ruach nemucha means zehirus and mitzvahs, v'nefesh shfala means anova. Tamidosh Avram Avinu, the Talmud of Avram Avinu. The opposite, Ein Ra, Ruach Gevoya, V'nefesh Rochava, or Tamidosh Shel Bilam Harosh. Okay, so the Mishnah talks about the differences between the school of thought of Avram Avinu's school of thought and Bilam's school of thought. It says in Mishnah, Ma Bein, Tamidosh Avram Avinu, Tamidosh Bilam Harosh. What's the difference between the two? I think there's a lot of difference. One is a grobber shaygut, yeah, and one is Hotchachim. No, Mishnah's not so straightforward. Tamidosh Avram Avinu Neichem Oelim Azev Neichem Oelim Abosh Nema etc etc. Avot Tamidosh Bilam Arasha go to Gehenna VeYodim BeRashachas. Now, what's Peshat in this Mishnah, and on various different levels? Number one, why is it important for the Mishnah to identify these elements? Is it not very clear the differences between the Tamidim of Avram Avinu and Tamidim of Bilam Arasha? Why is it important to go through this? Number one. Number two, very interestingly, if you look into the Mishnah carefully, the Mishnah to the two opposites over here is Avram Avinu and Bilam Arasha. So the Mefarshim bring down, Rav Pinto I think brings down 100 years ago, he says, why is it that we bring an example of different generations? Why don't we bring two people from the same generation in the same epoch, in the same time in history, and these people, one gave over this message and the other gave over the other message? Why do we bring two different people in two different, completely different times in history? Why Avram Avinu and Bilam? Why not Avram Avinu and Melech Sodom? Or Bilam, or Nimrod, yeah, or Bilam and Moshe Rabbeinu. For example, Moshe Rabbeinu, we see the same thing. He has Ein Tova. What's Ein Tova? Eldad and Medad came, or Misnava B'machne, Yeshua comes along and says, I give up B'machne. Moshe Rabbeinu says, oh, Halavai, Hashem made all Klal Yisrael Nevi'im. Where do you see Moshe Rabbeinu's Anova? HaKadosh Baruch Hu sending me to take Klal Yisrael Mitzrayim. I'm not worthy. Send somebody else. What's Nefesh follow? He goes along and he makes Shalom with his arch enemies, Nadav and Avihu. He goes along and he begs them and bows to them. You know, so we see that with Moshe Rabbeinu, why do we have to bring Aaron Avinu as the primary example of the opposite extreme of Bina Marasha? Bring two people in the same generation and you can see it a lot better, the opposites. Now, when the Rambam brings a steer in the Rambam, he brings it in order to identify that it's so similar yet different. And therefore, you bring the halacha out from there. Bring two people who are more similar, i.e. in the same generation, and you can see the differences through that. Why bring an Avram Avinu and a Bina Marasha? Furthermore, the very, very essence of who Bilam was only because, according to the Mefarshim, was only because that the Ummah Yisrael Olam had tainas on Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Look at Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael are so great, Klal Yisrael are so pure, Klal Yisrael are so learned, Klal Yisrael has the Torah, Klal Yisrael have everything. It's not fair that we don't have somebody who can bring us up. It's not fair that they have a Navi like that, that has made such a hashpah, has made such an impact on them. We want somebody that can ultimately bring us and do us the same stuff. So Kodesh Baruch says, no problem, I'll give you Bilam. Doesn't seem fair. Doesn't seem fair. It's like the Havdol, you know, there's one football team that's not doing very well. So they ask for a new manager. So one of them has a top manager and he's unbelievable, he brought them through World Cups. The other one is some schnorrer who just they found in the middle of nowhere and they bring him in. And this guy says, he doesn't know how to teach football. He's a terrible guy. How can you possibly have Moshe Rabbeinu on one side and Hashem says, okay, I'll give you a Bilam. Bilam's just going to drag them down. It's not going to help them. So how are they appeased by the fact that you have a Bilam with such terrible middos and he's going to be the one that is going to be on the same path as Moshe Rabbeinu and therefore they won't have any tainas anymore? It's complete, it's chalk and cheese. What's the comparison here, Bichlal? So Yerucham says something very, very strong. Yerucham said like this. Yerucham says, and it's based on a lot of works he has. He says, Klal Yisrael, the way we appreciate Midas Tovus is an opposite to the way the world appreciates Midas Tovus. For example, he says, Rabbi Yerucham said he was in Germany for one time, a certain period of his life. He looked out the window. I think his hotel room must have been opposite a university. And he looks out the window and he expected to see Goyish Yeshiva Bochrim. You know, there's a Jewish yeshiva and a non-Jewish yeshiva. So in a Jewish yeshiva they teach Gemara and Rambam and Shulchan Aruch and Musa. And a Goyish they teach mathematics and sciences and biology and medicine, but they should behave more or less the same. He said when he saw what was going on, when he looked out the window and he saw the pritzus, he saw the kalas roish, he saw the open znus of the professors. People are completely immoral people. He was shocked. He was shocked. How can these people be those who are going to be the intellectuals of the community? How can these people be the future doctors? And he said, it finally hit him that Klal Yisrael have a completely different system than the Goyim have. A person can be in the Goyisha world a very successful politician. He can be a very good businessman. He can even be a very well-renowned and respected doctor. But he can be a mushchus in middos. He can be a person who's completely corrupt when it comes to middos. As long as he's not stealing from the public coffer, and as long as he's not affecting other people, he can have a terrible married life. It doesn't make a difference. Okay, now there's a certain amount of public pressure. You know, the look, clean look. But it doesn't. Plenty of politicians have a terrible, terrible past. And they get there. There are plenty of people who are terrible people at home. Terrible husbands. Terrible fathers. And they make it to the top ranks of scientists and doctors. Artists. He said that's what happens in the Goyisha world. In fact, unfortunately, they made a research recently. They came out with a survey. 40% of university students in Israel are addicted to some kind of drug. Okay, not coffee. I'm talking about 40%. And Rabbi Yisrael, this is in Israel. Yeah, Adam, in Chutz La'aretz. I'm sure it's a lot higher than that. In here, because in here in Israel, it's actually a crime. It is a crime to have even marijuana is a crime because it actually feeds on terrorism. You know, so here it's a crime. England to walk around with a dose of marijuana in your pocket, big deal. You know, well, fine. Let it get confiscated if it's too much, but it's not a crime. Here it's a crime. So therefore, it must be much, much worse there. 15% of medical students here in Israel are drug takers on a regular basis, drug addicts. La havdol. Unfortunately, there are from Yidden who pretend to be from Yidden. Who pretend they dress the way, they talk the way, but aren't from Yidden, because we hold that if a person is corrupt in Midas, a person who is not a good family man, a person who's not a good father, a person who's not a good husband, a person who's not a good neighbor, then he is not considered a Talmud Chacham. He is not considered somebody who the Olam HaTorah respects. He can have all the knowledge, and he can have all the you know, he can talk the talk and walk the walk, but if he doesn't have that Yiras Shamayim, then he's spat out by the Frum Olam. He's spat out by the Torah world. It's not possible to have this split, this palginon, where you have on one side a lot of knowledge, and on the other side we have somebody who is a mushkas in Midas, and it doesn't matter, we overlook that and respect him anyway. It cannot possibly be. Eliphaz, by the way, was a Novi. Eliphaz was a Novi, Kotzka brings down. But he almost murdered his Rebbe. It's not a steerer for Goyim to have Nevuah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a Nevuah without any working on the Midas Bechlal. The Goyim asked Rebbein Shalom, Rebbein Shalom, we want the ingredients to be a Novi. We want what it takes to be a Novi. Does it take you speaking to the Novi? Yes, Hashem, give us that. Does it take an intellectual to understand what you're saying? Yes, give us that. They did not ask for the Midas Tovus of a Novi. And therefore they got a Bilam. Where Klal Yisrael got a Moshe Rabbeinu, they got a Bilam. The fundamental difference is the fact that we trust and believe that Torah is not something that can be received properly with a bad kli. Rav Chaikin, he was the Rosh Yeshiva, I think he was the grandchild of the Chofetz Chaim. He was Rosh Yeshiva Es Labai Yeshiva in France. He said a very nice moshel. He said there was one woman who lived next door to another woman who always smelt the beautiful aromas of her cooking. And she always complimented her, and she couldn't cook. So one day she said to her, listen, do me a favor, I need you please to give me the recipe of your beautiful tasting food, the smells coming across it. You know, I'm really dying to make for my husband for his birthday something really nice. Fine, gives her the ingredients, and next day she comes back furious. So what's going on? He said, I spent a lot of money on the meat, on the vegetables, on the sauce, and it came out tasting absolutely terrible. He said, it can't be. I'm telling you, it tasted terrible. So he said, show me the pot. Show me where the food is. And the pot was filled of filth, of grease, and grime, and dirt. He said, you idiot. You can take the most beautiful, tasting, delicious meal. You put it in a filthy, dirty pot, it's going to taste of grime. Torah has got such qualities to it. Torah is so beautiful and clean, but you put it in a dirty pot, it comes out tasting putrid. That was Bilam. They asked for a Novi, they got a Novi. You did not ask for Baal Midas. Because Midas, you got to work on yourself. You can't be given Midas. You can work on Midas, and the Midas can actually work through the genetics to make you greater. Okay? This is the unbelievable message of why the Mishnah deliberately chose an Avram Avinu versus Bilam Arasha. What's the idea behind that? The idea is that Derech Eretz Kodma LaTorah. Derech Eretz is not something that complements Torah. Derech Eretz is the prerequisite. It is the only way you can get Torah is through that. Why Avram Avinu? Why did Klal Yisrael get the Torah, not anybody else? The Torah is because I had the Avram Avinu who put it into their genes, who made them, who was machanech them from early on with his Ayin Tova, with his Ruach Vola, with his Midas Tovas. That created the generation and generation and generation that when eventually HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Klal Yisrael and they said, you want the Torah? They said, Nasiv Nishma. The other Umays didn't. And therefore we chose Avram Avinu to show us that it's not the Torah that gives us the good Midas. It's a good Midas that allows us to receive the Torah. Obviously, once we receive the Torah, we can reach much higher levels of good Midas through receiving the Torah and refining a Midas through the Torah. But never let it be said, chas v'chalila, that a person can be a ben Torah with bad midos. Derech Eretz Kolma Torah means only through making Avram Avinu that he prepared the generations to receive the Torah. 16 generations, how many generations was it? From the beginning, Briyas Olam, about 6 generations to receiving of the Torah. Put it into the Koichas, generation after generation, that is how we receive the Torah. And that's why we have Avram Avinu to be chosen, not Moshe Rabbeinu. Because if we have Moshe Rabbeinu against Spin, we can come and say, ah, Moshe Rabbeinu was great because he learned Torah. No, it's not true. Avram Avinu was great even without learning Torah. Because he worked on his Midas. And only because working on the Midas did you actually receive the Torah. On the other hand, why don't we have Avram Avinu then versus Nimrod or Melech Sodom or somebody like that? Why is Avram Avinu against Bilam? To show us, if you have bad Midas, you can have all the messages in the world. You can have Kriyas Yamsuf to look at. You can have Yetzias Mitzrayim to look at. You can have Matan Torah to look at. You can have Moshe Rabbeinu and the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu going through the Midbar and seeing the Nisim and Iflois and be totally unimpressed and remain a Bilam to the day you die. You can have the most beautiful generation and still remain a Bilam. If you'd have Avram Avinu against Nimrod, you didn't see Torah. Here we see. They saw the Torah. They saw the Gadlus. They saw Moshe Rabbeinu. They saw the Dor Deor. And still he remained a Bilam. If you have good Midas, you can become the most fantastic Yid. If you have bad Midas, Rachmana Litzlan, the Torah can be used as a Sam HaMoves. That is a very, very important lesson. In fact, the Gemara says, Omer Bavol, the Gemara says in Brachos, Bikshu likvoya Bartus Bolak b'Kriya Shema. They actually want to put this in one of the parts of the Kriya Shema. Or mipnei ma'aloi kavua. Why did they not put it in? Mishum tirchu de tzibura, because posha, it took too much time. It would have taken too long.
You want to put the whole parasha
in? Yes. Don't put the whole parasha in. Because this is a fundamental. You can see Avram Avinu, and you can see the Midas Tovus that created the generation, eventually, that will receive the Torah. Without the Torah, now that they have the Torah, how much more is expected from us? Why dafka these midas? So there's a beautiful piece I saw many years ago, also from Rav Pinto. He said very, very nicely. He says, "Matoivo elecha Yaakov mishkan isecha Yisrael." Bilam said he saw the way Klal Yisrael based their architecture, the way they saw the way they built the oyalim, and he said, "Matoivo elecha Yaakov." What did he see? So it's brought down from Maram Galati. He says like this: "Boinin beis knesios begoiva shul ir." There's a halacha that you have to build a shul the highest point in the city. V'chol ir shegagiseho gvoim beis hakneses, any place where the roofs are higher than the shul, the soif nichreves, eventually will be destroyed. Now I don't know al pi halacha lemaisa how that's, you know, in some cases they have a shul that is surrounded by tower block buildings. I don't know halacha lemaisa how far that goes, but there's a hashkofa behind this. Bilam said, "Matoiv olecha Yaakov," when he saw that the shuls are built in the highest part in town. Why was he so impressed by that? What's the idea behind that? One of the Memches Knanei HaTorah is the Oimet Dovah v'Shem Oimri. A person says something over in somebody else's name. And the Mishnah carries on, "V'chol ha'oimet v'Shem Oimri mevi Geula l'Olam," and brings Geula to the world. Why is that one the Memches Knanei HaTorah? Why is it so important to say something over in somebody else's name? I learned it from this person. I know it now. It's finished. To be Koina Torah, you've got to say v'Shem Oimri. You've got to say the name of the person who said it. And if that brings Geula. What's the Shaychus to Geula? The Torah says it like this. That the Tanner is telling us, Memches Knanei HaTorah, that the only way to become a Talmud Chacham, the only way to become a Ben Torah, the only way to become an Elech Yid is Bittul HaYesh. To cancel out the Yesh, the what is inside me, as if I count for something. If a person learns and he says, it's not me who taught this, I heard this in the name of whichever Rav this was. By the way, this is Rav Pinto said this, okay? Mm-hmm. Rav Pinto. It's got a beautiful sefer on Pirkei Avos. I think it's called Zichron David. I'm not sure exactly what it's called. I have to check at home. I have the sefer at home. Sorry? Yeah, yeah. Dove Pinto. Have you seen the Sefer on Ovis?
No, he has a Pachad Dove.
Beautiful, beautiful Svarim. Very, very much beautiful. See, he said, well, the Tanna is telling us, if you don't say B'Shem Omroi, means that, sort of, you know, I think it's good. I'm not saying in his name. I'm very clever, and I want to explain it to anyone who wants to listen to me as if it came from me. That is not going to create a Talmud Chacham. That's going to create a Bilom. That's going to create a person who is a Balgaiva, who is eventually going to blow himself up with his Gaiva. And that is Peshat, where you have a city that the shul is on the highest point in town, where everyone looks up to the Bote Knesset, Bote Midrashos, that is who we look up to. That is who we follow. Everyone else is subjugated. Everyone else is lower. Anyone looks at his house, looks up to the shul. That is Matoivo Lecha Yaakov. That is a nation that is impossible to conquer. We cannot destroy a Klal Yisrael that looks up to Das Torah, that follows Das Torah, that's willing to back down if a greater authority in Torah tells him to do something else. Matoivo Lecha Yaakov. And that is the key of Klal Yisrael. Rachmana Litzlan, what is terribly, terribly, terribly dangerous is when people, fathers especially, don't integrate this into the homes of the children, of their family. The Rav came home, oh, what a boring drosha. Off he went again. I'm telling you, I don't know where this guy ever heard. You know, obviously the guy never would be people for speaker's training. What a disaster. His content was terrible, his deliverance was terrible. What a mess. Right? And the kids hear that. All the kids hear, the Gedolim are being machmir again. Or they hear something at home which pulls down Das Torah. Yeah, very nice, but we are, you know, we're not part of the Israeli Olam. We're an American, or we're English, or we live in Eretz Yisrael. Somehow they pull down or denigrate in any way, chas v'chalila, the Das Torah. There's a moshul, I'm not sure who this was, there's a true story. Somebody came to a certain Rav, I forgot who this was, I think it could be the Malbim, I'm not 100% sure. He went to a certain Rav, and he came to the Rav crying that his child, his son, wants to marry a shiksa. Terribly, terribly upset. And could the Rav possibly somehow convince him otherwise? So he said, let me tell you a moshul. There was once a very famous doctor who used to go from city to city, and he had special herbs, special medicines that would heal people who nobody even knew about. He'd get them from the jungles, and he'd get people sending them from all over the world, and he'd mix them together, and he would bring the cure of unbelievable cures. Anyway, he's riding across a bridge going to a new town, and some bandits hijacked his carriage. And by gunpoint, they robbed him. Took away all his money. Took away all his valuables. Opened up his suitcase. Saw a whole bunch of little twigs inside there with a bit of grasses. And they threw the suitcase into the river. And it went down the river and it got lost. Anyway, a couple of days later, people come into the doctor. Lining up, this famous doctor's in town. And, you know, he does his best. What could he do? One night, as he's sleeping, there's a hammering on the door. What is it? He opens the door. And there's this man who came to him. He's the head of the thieves. And he said to him, you've got to help me, doctor. My daughter's dying. If your daughter's dying, I'm so sorry to hear it. Tell what are the symptoms? He told the symptoms. He said, you should know. Such a shame. I could have given you the perfect, perfect medicine. She would have been cured within a few hours. But unfortunately, somebody stole my medicine and threw it into the river. I'm sorry, I can't help you. There's nothing I can do to help your dying daughter. Said the Rav, now you come to me when you've stolen all my ammunition. Now you come to me after all these years of degrading Talmidei Chachamim, of degrading Das Torah, of speaking out and strongly against what Rabbonim speak about. And now you come to me asking the Rav to help you. You've taken all the medicine and thrown it into the river. I can't help you now, it's too late. Matoiv Lecha Yaakov is what Bilam is saying. As long as Klal Yisrael are able to look up to Das Torah, as long as they look up, the Bote Knesses are higher than who they are, then they have a future. Then I cannot possibly destroy them. I can only destroy them, chas v'chalila, when they think that they are higher than the Das Torah, then they can make decisions, when they look down at Rabbonim as being somehow primitive. That is when Klal Yisrael are going to be destroyed. Goes a stage further. This doesn't only mean with Das Torah. It means as well that Ayin Tova, referring to over here by Avraham Avinu, is an Ayin Tova of looking well upon other people. Looking at other people and stepping back. Now the Mishnah says, and obvious, one the Nisim, or the Beis Midrash, says, Oindim Tzfufim Mishtachlim Revachim. When the Oindim Tzfufim, when they were standing on the Beis Midrash, it was Tzafuf, it was very tight. But Mishtachlim, when they bend down, it's Revachim, when they bow down, there's plenty of room. Tremendous mess. So the Kotsky used to say, Oimdim Tzfufim, Misha Oimedal Daitoi, a person who stands on his das, if not willing to give in, then Tzfufim, it's always very Tzafuf, it's always very cramped. But Mishtachavim, when he bowed down, may the other person's also right. Let the other person have a day. You know, maybe he's correct in this case, maybe I'm wrong. Then Revachim, then there's plenty of room. Over here as well, Mayvi Ge'ulala Oilam. If a person is able to appreciate the other person's point of view, when he looks up to the other person, he doesn't mind saying something in the other person's name, he has an Ayin Tova, then that brings Geula Lo'ilam. If a person is an Ayin Ra, he's not willing to say anything over in the name of somebody else, who's going to credit himself, then he has Chas V'Chalila Ayin Ra, then his Sinas Chinam steps in. The Abderov is known as Oiv Yisrael. Oiv Yisrael had a sefer that describes a tremendous, tremendous mitzvah of Avas Yisrael. And he used to say over and over again that every single parsha in the Torah is not one parsha that does not mention the mitzvah of Avas Yisrael. Every parsha. Every single parsha talks about Avas Yisrael. He said, yeah, what about parsha? Someone came to Rebbe. What about Parshas Bollock? What about Parshas Bollock? He said, Parshas Bollock? It's the easiest one. Parshas Bollock is. Bollock is Rosh HaTevas, Vahafto, L'Reacho, Kamoicho. You got it? Bollock, Vahafto, L'Reacho, Kamoicho.
Two letters are not right.
Oh! So Talmud said to Rebbe Yosef, Vahafto, L'Reacho, Kamoicho, Vahafto is with a Vav, L'Reacho, the Lamed is right, Kamoicho is a Chof. And Bollock is base Lamed Kof. You know, there's a limit how much the license of Rebbe of a Chassidish Shetel goes. But, you know, you're overdoing it, Rebbe. What's going on? He said, you're my Talmud for years and years. Do you not see, have you not learned from me, that when it comes to Avas Yisrael, you shouldn't be medactic on a few little letters? It sounds like a joke. But that, if you know what Oiv Yisrael was, it's godless, it's genius. Okay, this person doesn't quite fit your taste. He's not doing exactly the way you want him to do it. He doesn't smell the way. He doesn't have the same manners. He doesn't have the same kind of upbringing as you. He doesn't quite fit. The letters don't quite fit. There's no mitzvah to love him. Don't be makpid on the letters. Don't be so precise. A person's got to be exactly like that in order for me to love him. No! Look up to him, appreciate him, say something in his name. That is maybe Gula Lo'ilam. That's the second message of this week's parasha. The third is a very, very delicate, extremely delicate piece. The Malach says to him in Perek Chof Beis, Pasuk Chof Ches, "Vayiftach Hashem es pi osin, v'toyme lebilom mer sisi lecho ki kisani zeh sholish regalim." Yeah, so why have you hit me these Shalosh Regalim? So Shalosh Regalim obviously begs for Pshat. Why is it Shalosh? Say three times, what's Shalosh Regalim? So Rashi says, there's Shalosh Regalim, Romaz Loi, Atum Vakesh Lakoi Umo, are you trying to uproot a nation? Hachigeges Shalosh Regalim Bashana, that celebrates three Regalim Bashana. Very nice. So Regel fits into Shalosh Regalim. Very nice, beautiful pshat. He's saying that. But if the message is, why are you trying to uproot a nation who keeps a mitzvah, why didn't he say, why are you trying to uproot a nation that keeps Shabbos? And say in a different language. Why is Shalosh Regalim the message that Bilam was supposed to receive, that the ness was that this donkey speaks to him, and that was the message that comes out? That you are trying to destroy a nation, Shalosh Regalim, that was the perfect drasha HaKadosh Baruch Hu has already prearranged from the time of Maisa Bereishis, that's what the message should come through. The mitzvah of Shalosh Regalim. What's the positive of Shalosh Regalim? So what is Shalosh Regalim, Rabbi Yisai? Shalosh Regalim is you know, you have to, the first time it actually really, it really hit me. I really understood it properly. Shalosh Regalim is a times of year when you love being at home. You know, every son-in-law and father-in-law wants to have a few children. There's a whole discussion who should go to who for Yom Tov. No, I'd like you to come to me. No, I'd like you to come to me. You know, there's a certain beauty of having your own table in your own home, Pesach cleaning it, sitting by a Seder table with your polished silver, and sitting there with your children, Be'ez Hashem, and your grandchildren, and your in-laws are sitting around the table and having a Seder night. Sukkos, sitting in your own sukkah, you know, with the decorations, and you know, and you've got the wood when everything's cut beautifully, and you've got the schach, and you've got the walls, sitting in your own sukkah. This is today when you don't have a Lila Regal. When we have a Lila Regal, then we're going to be leaving this all behind. People who don't live in Yerushalayim are going to be refugees. The family have no chiv to come with them. Women and children have no chiv to come with them. They're at home, and the father goes up the Lila Regal to go up to the Regal, Sholosh Boma Vashono, Yerokol Zechurcho. There's a mitzvah to come up, and the Lila Regal. And therefore you're staying by Yankel Moshe, your cousin, and by Chaim Yitzchok in some guest room, another four or five other cousins. But you're not at home! It's Mesiris Nefesh. This is a koyach of Klal Yisrael. The koyach of Lila Regal is that a person is able to leave behind all creature comforts and say, Ribbono Shel Olam, wherever you want me to be, whatever you want me to do, I am there for you, irrelevant whether it fits in with my program, whether it fits in with my timetable, whether it fits in with my social life. It doesn't matter. I'm happy to give it all up, a Lila Regal, to go up to Eretz Yisrael, to go up to Yerushalayim, sorry, and be a refugee. That's what you want. I was with a family, and what's with my comforts, and what's with my routine. It doesn't matter. I'm there for you. The difference between a Evet Hashem, the difference between a Talmid of Avraham Avinu and a Talmud of Bilam HaRosha, is how much is a person willing to sacrifice. How much is a person willing to allow Kodesh Baruch Hu into his life and turn himself around and say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, I am there for you. Not that I am putting you into my life. I have a life. I'm happy to negotiate with you at certain times. You know, as long as you fit in, that's fine. No. Ribbono Shel Olam, I am yours. Anything you want me to do, I will do for you. And I will fit myself into you. Reb Leib Gurevitz said, I think, he said, what's the difference between the Mizbechos that Bilam HaRosha built and the Mizbechos that the Obos built? Many times in Sefer Bereishis you find Avraham Avinu built a Mizbeach and Yitzchak and Yaakov. So here as well, Bilam built Mizbechos. What's the difference between the two? What's the difference? Rabbi said, what is the difference between the two? There's Mizbechos and here Mizbechos. What's the difference? All about timing. If you look anywhere in Sefer Bereishis, where the Obos built Mizbechos, it was always after HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a present, Hashem gave them a Haftocha, then the Hakaras HaToiv, they built a Mizbeach. Hashem said, you're going to have a child, Avraham Avinu built a Mizbeach. Hashem said, gave Yaakov Avinu a dream, I'm going to be with you, he built a Mizbeach. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't deserve this. What can I do to give to you back? Thank you. He built a Mizbeach. With Bilam, it's exactly the opposite. Bilam was all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, I've got an agenda here. You know, I'm happy to build a Mizbeach, but you know, it's a two-way street here. You fit into me, I'll fit into you. Therefore, I'll build a Mizbeach, but now I want to say whatever I want to Klal Yisrael. It was always a kavayochel, a sheichad to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Hashem should follow what he wants, because I ultimately need you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I didn't need you, I'll push you out of the way and I'll get B'nai Smoya to do what I need them to do. But, you know, preferably I like to work the conventional methods of bringing your HaKadosh Baruch Hu in. And that was the difference between Avraham Avinu's children and Bilam HaRosha's children. Do we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the ultimate, the Sholosh Regalim, the ultimate, and we put ourselves into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and if we don't fit in, there's a problem with us? Or do the opposite, that we allow HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our lives, as long as it doesn't interfere with what our needs actually are. Bilam HaRosha and Avraham Avinu. you know, the Gedolim, how careful they were to define what was important, and then to define how that fits into their needs. I said this story before, but I'll say it again. It's the most beautiful story of Aaron Kotler, Zeichet Tzadik V'Kodesh Evracha. Him, with a few other Gedolim in America, built up from a desert, from a nothing, the empire of Torah that America has today. The amount of Torah that's learnt today, compared to what it was in the 40s and the 50s, there was nothing there, nothing. There's a handful of people sitting and learning. Today, it's a Mokum Torah. You got places like Long Beach, you got places like Chicago, you got places like Hollywood.
Waterbury.
Anywhere. Sorry?
Waterbury.
All these different places, incredible. And all Torah is coming out. It was built by these people of the dedication and emistikai that built the yeshivas. There's one story which stood out. Rav Zilberstein brings it down. That they needed to build a new wing for the yeshiva. And in those times, to build a new wing for the yeshiva needed $100,000. $100,000 then was probably a few million dollars today. Needed $100,000. So they made a fundraising dinner. And Aaron Kotler was there with the other Gedolim sitting on the top table there. And the donors were there with their bow ties and their dress suits. And you know, it was really a very, very high profile do. And the chairman gave his pitch. And Rav Aaron gave his pitch, and he begged them, Rabbi Yisai, please, put your hands into your pockets, let us finally build the yeshiva for Lakewood. Two balabatim stood up after discussion between them, and he said, we will pledge $75,000, three quarters of this yeshiva, $75,000, if Mr. whatever it is, let's call him Mr. Stern over there, gives $5,000 of his own money. The people there, can imagine what's going on. $75,000. So let him give $5,000. He's a very wealthy man. Mr. Stern stands up, red faced. How dare you? How dare you blackmail me like this? In front of everybody? If I want to give, I'll give. But you can't do that to me. You can't blackmail me and say, we'll give X amount if you give. I'm happy to give whatever I'm happy to give. You can't force me to do anything. You know what? I refuse to give it. Time out. Okay, time out. Let's reconvene in half an hour. We need to make a little discussion over here. They come back. The fundraising committee goes up to Aaron and says, Aaron, listen, Aaron. We have $75,000 on the table. Out of $25,000 we can easily make by the end of the fundraising due. Once you have $75,000, you can raise the other $25,000. We'll have, by the end of this evening, a new dormitory for the yeshiva. But Aaron said, but he's not willing to give unless he gives $5,000. So now what we'll do? We'll give him $5,000. Dollars, matona menosla hachzir, and with different tnai mekora and tnai kofel and all the various different things, and we'll give it to him, and then he can give it the $5,000, and we'll give it $75,000. A matona gomor with all different. Ram said no. The condition was that he should give from his own money $5,000, not that we should give it to him. He said, what difference does it make? Now he's got $5,000, he's giving it. I said, I'm not building a borstal here, I'm not building a jail, I'm building a yeshiva. Is that what Rabbeinu Shenon wants, to do sticks? Is that what we need in order to build a Mokum Kodesh? No way, I'm not doing it. So they came back, and that $75,000 did not materialize, the other $5,000 also didn't, but Lakewood Yeshiva was built anyway. That is a godel. What is the agenda? The agenda is Ratzon Hashem. How do I fit into that? I fit into that agenda. No, I've got to build a Mokum Torah, and therefore we'll try and get the halachas to fit in what we need. That is Bilam Arasha. And this can create such Kiddush Hashem. Rav Zilberstein brings a story there of running a little bit late, but I want to finish off with a couple more points. Rav Zilberstein brings a story of a certain newspaper here in Eretz Yisrael wanted to reveal the kind of corruption that goes into workmen. So what they did was, they went to a certain house, in the middle of a very undescript home, and they rewired the plug of the kettle. So they just moved the wires around. So when she put the kettle into the plug, into the socket, it fused. Okay? Then they completely rigged up the whole house with cameras and with microphones, secret cameras and microphones, And they asked her to phone up three electricians to come at the same time to fix the problem. Fine. The first electrician comes along. He looks around. He says, oh, this is a serious issue. No lights on. Let me try the boiler. Boiler's not on either. Oy vey. This is going to cost you 3,000 shekel. Straight off the bat, 3,000 shekel. The woman says, 3,000 shekel. You can't give a hanukkah. I'll give you cash. You know, I'll do it for 2,600. But less than that, it's just not worth my while. It really, you know, take it or leave it. Let me think about it. Meantime, another, so he says, okay, maybe you want to go on the balcony at time. Let me think about it. Let me speak to my husband. Next electrician comes in, looks around. 2,000 shekel. Oh my goodness, this is a real mess. I don't know what. Who did your wiring? How long have you been living here? Surprising, the place hasn't burnt down years ago. You know what? Nothing. I think the minimum I can do is 2,000 shekel. Can't do less than that. 2,000 shekel, you know, I haven't got 2,000. Listen, you know, that's how much it costs. You ask anybody else to charge you more. Then this Elie Chaid comes in, electrician with a payas and a couple, big beard. He looks and he's. What's going on over here? He said, the lights don't work. So how did this happen? He said, how did it happen? I tell you, I put the plug in the wall and the whole house fused. So which plug? Opens up the plug, he sees a wire. He said, it's nothing. It fused because of that. You fix a wire, put it back in again, tried it on, put the fuse back up, and it worked. He said, I'll charge you 120 shekel. Out comes the whole TV crew, right? This is filmed for a documentary. They come to the other, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? You know very well, it's blessed, you know, I didn't say it. I didn't say 3,000. I didn't say 2,000. I said it would cost, excuse me, and they played back the tape. That's what you said. And they really put him in hot water. This Elie Chaid, he said, why do you take so little? He said, because somebody's watching. He said, what do you mean somebody's watching? You know about the cameras? He said, Chas v'Shalom, there's a camera on me 24 hours a day. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. He said, but your call out charge is 200 shekel. Why do you charge 120? So I came into the house. I saw what poverty this woman lived in. I could charge her 200 shekel for a few minutes' work. So I charged 120 shekel. People saw that documentary, Rabbi Say. Rabbi Zilberstein brings down that there are many, many people who said they became Bali Tshuva Gemurim because of seeing this. Elie Chaid do what he had to do. This Midas Toivus, this Ayin Toivo, this Nefesh Fala, this Zahirus, creates and ignites the spark inside Yidden who don't know what it means to be an Elie Chaid. The only reason why there aren't even many, many more Balei Teshuva is because the secular press and the media and the courts and all these, they portray Frumi Yidden as people who don't have this Ayin Toivo. If we could possibly portray this and show who we really are, then ultimately we're back to Avraham Avinu. We can follow him completely and bring back people with such geschmack, with such love, with such Avraham race. We can become Avraham Avinus ourselves. But just finish off with this. Unfortunately, there's sometimes we're not holding there. There's sometimes where we have an Ayin Ra. There's certain times when we have in the Soin. So Ramotel Kamenetsky brings down a very, very cute story, and it's based on a pasuk. The pasuk says in Perik Chof Beis, Posit Yud Beis. There's a whole discussion. Vayim Mebilam El Elikim, Bolik Ben Tzipa Melech Moiv Shalach Elai. Coach Baruch Hu said, Where are you going? So Vayim Elikim Abilam Vayim Miyan Noshem Elei Moch. Coach Baruch Hu comes in with Perik Chof Beis Posit Test. Who are these people? Abilam said, who are these people? Whoa, Melech Moiv sent for me. Vayim Elikim Abilam Lo Yisai Lichimom. Don't go with them. Ki Baruch Hu. Okay. Fine, don't go with them. They're blessed. And then a whole discussion backwards and forwards. And then he gets his, he's going to get paid very, very well. And then later on, Kosh Baruch Hu comes back and says, okay, if that's what it's really all about, i.e. Shleil Shmo, according to Rav Schwab, then it's all about Shleil Shmo, you can go with them. Fine, but you have to listen to me, everything I say, you do so. He saddled his donkey. Got angry. He is going. One second. Hakosh Baruch says, where are you going? Bilam says, I'm going with Balak. Hashem says, don't go. Fine, I won't go. Next day, negotiations. Hashem comes back to him and says, okay, you can go. Next morning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells his donkey, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'yichaf v'nekim, why is he going? Why are you getting so nervous? Koilach Hu is going. He said I can go. What's this all about? So he said, very nice. He said, he brings a story. Mordechai Kamenetsky brings a story like this. He says, there's an old Jewish story about this. There's a certain Schnorrer who goes collecting one Sunday in a prestigious community shul. You know, and that shul, although they had a no solicitor policy, you're not allowed any schnorrers in that shul, the president of the shul somehow was convinced that this fellow was somehow different, that he really was in the need, and he was is honest, and that they allowed him to go around. Anyway, he comes three morning minyanim. He's there every day. After a few days, he walks out with a big smile on his face. Fine. A couple of hours later, the president walks into the most beautiful restaurant, most expensive restaurant in town, and there he is sitting there with munching a ribeye steak. You know, with a serviette tucked in. He's got some fantastic wine there, and there he is, mummish, enjoying himself. The president stands, walks up to him. So, what are you doing? What are you doing? He says, is that what you're using your money for? He said, I don't understand. When I don't have the money, I can't eat steak. When I do have the money, I also can't eat steak. Now I've got the money, I can eat steak. What's going on over here? What's going on? What's pshat? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Bilam, Bilam, you know what? Under certain conditions, you can go with them. But do as I say. What does Bilam do? Rebbein Shalom, I got your license? Wow, off I go. Ki hoi lechu. In the morning, Vayochim Bilam Baboike got up early in the morning. Vayachvish es hasoinis, saddled his own donkey, which is like basically like, you know, pumping up the tires yourself, cleaning the car yourself. And off you went. Ki hoi lechu. He's going. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, one second. Vayicha af Hashem. I said he can go with, but enthusiasm. You can go with, but where is your seichel? Go with, but look as if you're regretting it. Go with, but look as if when you're sitting there chomping on a steak, yeah, think about how bad it looks from the outside. I gave you permission, but think about how it's going all about. So he says, Bishal over here is, there are certain times we have to, unfortunately, we have to, you know, we have to compromise. We're in society that we have to meet with people we're not supposed to meet. We've got to speak with politicians who we know are liars. We've got to meet with people unscrupulous. We're supposed to go with in different areas that we shouldn't necessarily go for business. But we have to do it enthusiastically. Do we have to do it with a geschmack? Is that what it's all about? That's what Kosh B'Kohoy Lechu. He brings off a very nice, I think you'll like this, Mayor. He says, sometimes it doesn't matter if our conscience is at stake when a stake intrudes upon our conscience. Okay? And that's what it's all about. The idea is, Rabbi said, number one, this parasha is the primer. This parasha is the introduction to Chol HaTorah Kula. It should really be in Kriya Shema. Message number one, Derech Eretz Kodma LaTorah. Avraham Avinu prepared us to receive the Torah, not the opposite. Number one. Number two was a message that if we want to have continuation, if we want to have Doris Yisharim and Mavirach, if we want to have children, we're not going to be off the Derech Rachman of the Son. If we want continuity, it has to be that we focus on Gadlus, that we focus on authority of Torah authority, that we focus on the Milus of other Yidden, that we don't mind having Ayin Tova, looking up to them and learning from them and say even things over their name. And you know what? And sometimes it doesn't quite fit. We change a little bit. We don't look at the letters. If actually Bolok can be, Bolok can actually be v'hafter reyachol kamoichol. Doesn't matter. Turn a blind eye. We see the milus. That is how we have continuity. The difference between Talmidei Avraham Avinu and Talmidei Bilam HaRosha is all about: do we fit ourselves into the Rebbeinu Shleilam, or do we fit Rebbeinu Shleilam into ourselves? Who is the real deal? Where does it all come from? And finally, it's idea that if chas v'chalila, we're not doing the way we should be. Let's do it with a krecht. Let's do it with an upset. Let's not do averus or be have the kinna with a geshmak. As we say, Al Chet Shechton Lefanecha Britzas Raglaim Lahara, that we run to do bad. It's bad enough to do Averis, but we've got to run to do it with enthusiasm. Let's do enthusiastically mitzvahs with our Ein Tova. Let's try and reignite that spark of Yiddishkeit that is deep down in every single Yid. Rabbi Yisrael, you're talking about people who sometimes have no Shaychus to Klal Yisrael B'chlal, have no Shaychus to Shmiris and Mitzvahs, but get people who are philanthropists from Yiddish philanthropists, which is incredible considering they don't keep the mitzvahs, because deep down inside them it is Ein Tova. Deep down then is a certain humility, unfortunately sometimes corrupted, but if we can somehow make a Kiddush Hashem and revive that, then we can be Avraham Avinu in every single true sense of the manner.